Welcome to Confessions of a Cleaning Business Owner podcast. I'm Louise, here with Diane. And today we're going to be talking about what changes with your public image when you become a business owner. And this is something that we are going to debate hotly today, because I actually agree with everything that Diane is going to say here. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to play devil's advocate and put across every other point of view. So this might get quite heated today, but take it away, Diane.
It's a title is what it says, isn't it? Your public image as a business owner, do you have to be aware of it? And, you know, if you take on the role and the responsibility of being a business owner, in no matter what industry, obviously we're in the cleaning industry, but no matter what the industry, then you are now a public persona, if you like, even no matter how small your business, because, you know, if you're a cleaning business, you have a local area, and there are things in that local area where you're going to be sharing in public, and you have to be careful and think about it. And we are going to talk probably quite a lot and probably quite heatedly about social media, but there are other things as well. So I'm going to start with the other things as well. So the first one is, do you have signs on your car?
Okay, I've actually just done low-cost marketing strategies, and one of them is logo up your car. I have never logoed up my car, and there is one reason for this. I know it would get me tons of business. It is one of the most effective ways of getting business. But I am not always the best driver, and I'm always very quick to apologise because I'm normally at fault. I'm quite happy to pull out in front of another car. I will abandon my car wherever I happen to be when I want to go into a shop. Like, I really, like, I'm not the best, and I accept that, and I will take full responsibility. But I do not want that to reflect on the business.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm quite as bad a driver as you, Louise, but you know the reason why I don't have logos on my car, apart from the fact, obviously, now I live in France, but when I used to have a lovely white car, I loved it, it was a cash car, if anybody's ever heard of those, but I loved it, it was a brilliant car, and I got some magnetic signs for it, first of all, they flew off when I went on the motorway, so not so good, but actually, even if they stayed on, I realised that having a white car, it needed washing all the time, and I was like, I can't drive around in a dirty car if I'm advertising my cleaning business. I know we don't clean cars, but the perception in people's minds is that you need to have a clean and tidy car, don't you? So I was just like, well, they're going, I'm not washing the car every day. So yeah, I don't have them for that reason, because my car won't always be a good representation of my business.
And I had this, so I spend a lot of weekends in the Lake Districts or Wales, up a lot of mountains, and one, it gets muddy, it's inevitable, my car, it cakes it in mud sometimes, so I can't stay on top of the cleaning of it. Well, I probably could, and I live right by a car wash, so there's no excuse, but I don't. And two, because you are parking on places and grass verges where you shouldn't be parking, you know, I don't want to be held to account.
So having said that, it's a really good way of advertising your business.
It's really good.
Just be aware, we're talking about public image here, that while you're driving that car and wherever that car is parked, it's representing your business. So if you're going to have a logoed car, you have to remember your public image, because you're now a public person as part of your business.
Yes. And I think
that's my first one.
So we're about to logo up one of our cars. I'll be honest, it's not the one that I'm driving, but one of our cars is about to get logoed up. It does do the world of good, and we know the impact, and it's really nice because people come up to you and go, oh, you're so and so. It's like, yeah, I love that.
Brilliant. Okay. And then the other thing where sometimes business owners fall down is, and this is a part of managing your public image, is when perhaps a bad or not so good review comes in, or even actually responding to good reviews, how we respond to them says a lot about the business, and it's part of the public image of the business. So have you ever had sort of any problems with this where you've kind of gone, I really want to say this because it's all not true? Or, you know, have you just kind of, have you dealt with it, Louise?
So it's been really interesting because we've actually been working with Digital recently, and they have been helping us get reviews, and they've used a lovely piece of software. So we have a lot of people that would happily give us reviews, but they need chasing up. People are busy. They can't remember. And so we've had an awful lot of reviews. I think we've had like 70 reviews in 2 months. So I've been dealing a lot with reviews lately. And we did one where it was a first time clean. She wasn't quite happy. She'd expected 3 rooms to be done and she got 2 rooms or something like that. And she wasn't quite happy. And her complaint was not even a proper complaint, but it came up as 1 star. And they were actually responding to our reviews, and they were like, well, tell me the story here, what we're going to do about this. And they did respond really professionally, and actually I was totally on board with them responding professionally. There's a part of it where it's like, oh, this is ridiculous. And actually, it was a really good chance to phone up the customer and go, can we just talk about this for a second? We had put a plan in place to sort this out, but can I just talk to you about actually what's going on? So I've got to say, I don't struggle with reviews, because even if it's unfair, it's a real chance to sort it out. And we had one where it was unfair. We dealt with it really professionally. And in the end, we felt the review was so unfair, we actually copied in our response to them, because our response was so measured and so justified and so fair that we were like, this is a copy of the email we sent to them. And of course, they never followed it up or anything else. And I actually phoned them, and they did take it down. But it's hard, isn't it?
And I think also it's hard to remember that you're not there to justify yourself to the person who's written a review, because you probably can't change their mind. However, you're talking to the person that's reading the review.
Yes.
So when you're responding, that's who you're talking to. So it's good to have that in your mind. And sometimes it's good also to write a response and then delete it and start again.
And run it through ChatGPT.
Yeah, yeah. But just don't send your first instant response, because sometimes that can be the emotion. But just remember, you're talking to the next person that reads it.
So what do you do? Because you must have had a bad review at some point.
Yeah, and I reply in exactly that way. So I try not to talk too much about the actual incident unless it's very clear what's caused it. And yeah, just apologise that, you know, we disappointed you, and, you know, this is how we dealt with it. And, you know, and we've had one review where we've never heard of them. I'm just like, I don't know who you are. And I literally kind of said that in the response, but I also gave my email address in the response to say, you know, if you want to sort of like have a chat about this, please get in touch, and, you know, we'll definitely sort it out. But we can't find you on our records, basically.
Do you know what I got once? Right, this is a really fun one. I got a bad review, and I was like, who is this person? I'd never heard of it. So I Googled them, because obviously I was like, I don't know who you are. And then it turned out they worked for a cold calling company down in London. I'm based up in Manchester. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I phoned him, because he actually had his phone number on his LinkedIn profile, and I phoned him and I was like, you didn't call me for a genuine thing. You cold called me and I hung up on you, like, because I didn't have time to talk. I wasn't rude. I just hung up on him. Probably is a bit rude, actually, in hindsight. But anyway, and he was like, no, I was genuinely calling. I went, all right, where's the property? He went, Manchester. I went, I don't cover Manchester. I'm on the outskirts of Manchester. Where's the property? He could not name where his property was in any of the areas that I covered. I was like, look, let's be really honest. You were cold calling me. And if you don't take this review down, I will tell your manager what you have done. Like, you can't cold call someone and then leave an awful review that, like, I've never done a service or even spoken to you about it. So it did get sorted, but it's awful to do that.
Hard, but it's just remembering that this is about managing your public image, and no matter how awful sometimes it can feel when you see it, especially if it's not true, it's really hard. But you just have to respond professionally and carry on being a great service, you know, carry on being professional throughout.
Okay,
don't
so
get involved in
to tell their manager. I think that was fair.
That was slightly different circumstances, but publicly you didn't sort of like put, I'm going to do this to you. That's the difference, isn't it? And it's managing that public image that's really important. So the big one, of course, is social media. Okay. And we've just run a marketing masterclass, haven't we, for quite a lot of people. And one of the tips in there is about using local Facebook groups as an example to promote your business. And our recommendation is you join those groups as your personal profile, because it's much easier to be seen and it's much easier to respond as your personal profile. However, you're representing your business. So you've got to realize that as your personal profile, you are now your business. So how does that feel, Louise, in your local groups?
So in my local groups, right, I don't particularly have a problem, but I said to you before this, I have a real problem with What feels like a split personality, okay? And I'll explain it because I don't have a split personality. But if I look, I've got three businesses, all of which are pretty represented on social media. And each business has a different persona to a certain extent. So if I just explain them, my cleaning business is very kind, caring. It's all about mums. It's all about making a difference to your home life. You know, we'll bend over backwards to be really, really kind and caring. Then I've obviously mentioned the beekeeping business, and it's very wholesome. It's all about nature. There's no chemicals. We go out of our way to avoid chemicals, which is quite, to a certain extent, a little bit opposite to the cleaning business. And then, of course, we've got the Trade Association, the DCBN, which obviously does this podcast. And the DCBN is all about, let's be about business. Let's look at data. Let's look at figures. Let's look at prices. You know, it can be a little cutthroat. It's caring, but it's quite cutthroat, and that is so different to the very caring nature of the cleaning business, right? And I understand all three of these personalities, and I'm all right with them. And then somehow I've got to have a personal profile, and I go, well, I'm all of these but none of them at the same time, so what do I possibly put? Like, who am I? And because of my personal profile, I do mention about what's going on with the businesses, and then I've got a family and all these things that go on in my personal life. And you go, it was a couple of years ago, and I came to you, Diane, and I was like, how do I balance this? Who am I? It was really hard.
Yeah, it is difficult. And obviously, I'm the same. You know, a lot of people know me from being a property developer and property investing, as well as the cleaning industry. So, yeah, it can be a balance, can't it? And, you know, I think most people on my personal profile, I know personally and through business. A lot of them I've never met, especially in the property business. And yeah, it's difficult to kind of sort of like balance that, isn't it? That I'm still me, and obviously, you know, got family and friends that I know offline as well as online. But when it comes to me being a representative for my business, I'm just a bit more careful. I'm just aware that actually, if I'm going to, like, for instance, I don't particularly have controversial political views, but I am aware that if I did have, they could potentially have an effect on my businesses. So I just have to accept it. It's part of the responsibility of being a business owner. And we've talked, haven't we, Louise, about, you know, should you have a personal profile that you're only family and friends with? Or do you just accept that part of being a business owner is you've got that responsibility, and you've got responsibility to your team to make sure you don't mess up and do anything to damage the business, never mind to yourself?
I find it hard, right? Because you'll probably be well aware of this. I can be quite to the point. I think I'm funny. Apparently no one else does, but sometimes I find myself funny. And I find it, you know, when you go on your local Facebook groups and they're whinging about potholes, dustbins, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes, like, there are people that can write ridiculous things and you just can think of the funniest retort, right? But it could potentially be misinterpreted. And you don't get to write it, and you're giggling to yourself, and you type it out, and then you delete it, and you're like, oh, please, it would be so funny.
But we don't, you know, when you become a business owner, you kind of, that's just part of it. If you're going to use social media for your business, and the reality is, you can't have a business page without your personal profile. Facebook doesn't allow that, as an example. So you are always going to be linked to your business. You just kind of have to get over it. And you know what? Actually, it makes for a quieter life anyway, if you're not doing anything too controversial. But when you're in like local groups, you know, if you're going to be in there as your personal profile, which is going to help your business, make sure that everything you post, you would be happy for your customers to see, or potential customers to see, or potential staff members to see as well. So just be supportive. You know, there's no reason why you can't get involved in some of the other things other than related to cleaning, but just be careful. You know, and if you're going to talk about a local business in there, for example, in unfavorable terms, that could reflect on you. So just be careful and make sure it's always positive. So you're helping people, or you're praising people, or obviously answering, you know, if somebody wants a cleaner, great, put something professional on there. But just be aware that you're not there as Diane anymore. You're there as Diane, the business owner.
So I was telling you, I had a problem. I got myself into a bit of trouble and I didn't intend to. And I was walking my dogs. I live next to the River Mersey. And I was walking my dogs and my dog spaniel swam out into the middle of the River Mersey and started sniffing as much as you can if you're swimming at something. Anyway, it came a bit closer and I thought it was a dead fox. It was like a bit of fluff or something. Anyway, it came a bit closer and I could see it was a beagle. Now, at no point, I followed this down the river, it was very clearly dead. At no point did it come close enough that I could get anywhere near it. It was always 2, 3 meters away, and I am not getting in the River Mersey. For love nor money, I'm not getting in that thing, not without a wetsuit, anyway. So I took a picture and I put it in my local Facebook group, and I said, has anyone unfortunately lost a dog? And a lot of people were very, very grateful because apparently some people had lost dogs and they never saw another sighting of it again, and they did see it. But I got a load of abuse. How could you? This was really awful. This was, really upsetting for some people. And I was like, you could only see a bit of fluff, really, of this dog. It wasn't a very clear picture at all. And so sometimes it can be really hard to avoid controversy. And definitely, like, obviously the beekeeping business, vegans can get quite mean. Who knew vegans were mean? Right? But anyway, triggering subject for some vegans. And you go, is this reflecting on my other business? Am I meant to respond to some of this? And obviously we don't. But the answer to this is that then, if you are going to be on those personal pages, I also have the business on there and the business responds, because actually people would rather engage with the business. And actually, there is the argument, any publicity is good publicity. And I see people that love that. They'll take bad publicity all day long. And I think,
Yeah, but also it's, for me, it's not, yes, it's about the groups and how you respond and how you interact, remembering that you're representing your business, but also should we be taking a look at our personal profiles and going, is my profile picture something that I'm happy to be representing my business? Because it is, when you hover over somebody's profile, you'll probably see their business pop up, which is a good thing. If you're promoting it, you want it to. But actually, what's your profile picture right now? Is it okay that that's connected with your business? And
okay,
I'm
so
not
I'm
here to
going to
judge anybody. You can
reiterate.
put whatever you like, but if you're a business owner, it's connected to your business, you have to be a little bit more careful.
Okay, so I'm going to reiterate my caveat that I actually do agree with you, Diane. But okay, I'm going to put the other side forward. So, do you feel that what you're really saying to people is that they need to give up being themselves, right? So, if I, for example, had a political view, or I had a opinion about maybe slightly controversial subject, maybe in the news or something, what you're saying is I can't say it. So I can't say what's real to me. And I'm going to use a term that I see a lot on Love Island. At least I was true to myself. Okay.
Love Island. We are quoting Love
Island.
Island on our podcast now, aren't
We're
we?
quoting that, right? On Love Island, at least I was true to myself. I might have got kicked out or whatever, but at least I was true to myself. And you hear that a lot. Okay. See, were you saying to business owners, really, you don't get to be true to yourself, right? You don't get to post what you really think, because actually, because you represent a business, you have now got to be nice and middle of the line and not controversial. Is that what you're really saying, Diane? Because, I'm going to know a lot of people that are not necessarily going to agree with you on this one.
So if this isn't about not being yourself, this is about realizing where you're visible. Okay. So if you've got a personal profile and you're posting things on there that might be seen as controversial, just make sure the posts are private. It's an easy setting. Okay. And you can even go through your personal profile and change every post you've ever done to private with a click of a button. Okay.
Okay.
So some things you might want to be public if you want your friends to share your business page, or you want to share something that you've written that's relevant to your business, or actually it's not controversial and you're happy for potential customers to see it. But you just have to be a bit more aware. I'm not saying you can say whatever you like so long as it's not public.
But
Just like, privacy your own home almost.
what about there are people that live their life in the public eye on Instagram? Okay. And by this, I mean there are people with like 100, 200 followers, let's say, which is not an awful lot. So they have their life and they live their authentic life on Instagram. It's real, it's warts and all. And so what you're saying is actually, we don't want to see all those negative things. We don't want to see all those controversial things. Whereas some people say, well, actually, that's why people buy into me, because they do see the real me. And actually, that's what my customers like. And it's okay to say controversial things because that's me.
Okay. So it depends why you're doing it. You know, are you doing it because it feeds what you need in terms of, validation, support, or are you doing it to grow your business?
But if I was the kind of person that was posting that, whether I wanted to admit it or not, maybe it is because I want validation. Okay, but that shouldn't exclude me from running a business on it just because, for whatever reason, I need validation. You can tell I'm not necessarily talking about me here, which is why I can talk about it unemotionally. But like, if I wanted validation that actually I am a good person, I like living it, I want to live like that, I've had my Instagram profile for 10 years. Just because I run a business, why should I give up that part of me?
It depends what you want. If you want to grow a business and it's not, you can unconnect it. It could be a different persona and not connected to your business at all. I mean, particularly on Facebook, it's visibly connected to your business. LinkedIn, it's visibly connected to your business. Instagram is slightly different and TikTok. But do you know what? If you're going to get famous on a platform like that, and obviously you're not famous if you've got 100 or so followers, but if that's your aim is to be famous on those social medias, that's a different persona than the one that's running a cleaning business. And actually, are the two compatible? If you're doing it for your cleaning business, then it shouldn't be controversial. Why does it need to be controversial? You're a cleaning business owner.
Okay, so what you're saying is I can have controversial posts on my personal one as long as I disconnect it in any way from my business.
Absolutely, yeah. Protect your business from the controversy. And I would be questioning as well, the internet's kind of forever. You might regret what you're posting in 10 years' time personally, never mind business-wise.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a curveball out there, Diane, right? So there are people that have lost their jobs because of their OnlyFans profile. Okay. And that's not dramatically different to what you're saying. You know, if I have a controversial hobby, I personally am not on OnlyFans, so don't worry about looking for me, anyone who's listening
Don't
to this.
Google
You won't find me. You wouldn't want to anyway. I would not make a lot of money from that. But anyway, so let's say I did have an OnlyFans profile, right? Which is clearly disconnected, and I've not linked it to my Instagram or my business in any way. And then people find out, and it makes it into local news. I don't know. I did something quite controversial. I became very popular on OnlyFans. Okay. You're laughing at this now, aren't you? Okay, but let's say I did do that. Then that is going to impact my business. But actually, is that my fault?
Yes, absolutely. You're a grown adult,
Well.
and and you're taking a risk by being controversial on any kind of social media, whether it's OnlyFans or anything, whatever it is, on Instagram. If you're being controversial on social media in a public way, then you're risking that being exposed and used against you in your business.
Okay, interesting. So when a local news article comes out that there's this really attractive cleaner on OnlyFans, my local area, I'm not sure I'm going to be offended.
Yeah, you're gonna love it if that happens. But they
That
would
got
link it to your business. They would say cleaning business owner Louise, and then all of a sudden, it's all about your business rather than about you doing something in private because you're not doing it in private. So yeah, just be aware that as a business owner, you have responsibilities to your business, to your team, and to your future, and just be careful.
And this is something that, again, I'm going to go back to actually being me again. I'm very aware that if, for example, I did something that brought disrepute to the business, like responded to a review in quite an antagonizing way or something like that, you think, well, actually, who's going to suffer? It's my staff. It's my staff that lose their jobs. It's my staff. So however much my emotions feel like that at the time, the impact isn't going to be felt by me. Well, it might do eventually in the balance sheet, but ultimately it will be them that lose the work and things. And you just think, do you know, it's not fair. As a, we have a responsibility above, you know, doing that. And you have a responsibility to control yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just be aware that's what this is all about. As a business owner, you are the public face of your business, like it or not. And yeah, if you want to be controversial, great, but do it in private.
So going back to my initial problem then, where I have three different personalities and then me. I had that 2 years ago, and then I very much was, I was very business focused, and I was very much about developing them, and I felt like I lost myself. And it was over time that I realized, actually, I am all of these personalities and none of them. And actually, I do have my personal profile, and it's all right to be all of these and none of them. And anyone on my personal profile accepts that we have different facets and things. And as long as it's not offensive, you can be all of them. even if one is very wholesome and non-chemical and the other one literally uses chemicals, you know, there's a part of you go, yeah, I do both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I accepted a long time ago from property more than from cleaning to start with was that, yeah, I'm going to network on social media. And if that's what helps my business, great. But I accepted a long time ago that that involves some responsibility in terms of what I post.
Yeah. Do you know what I
swear though, but, you know, that just upsets my mum.
Do you know what I find hard? So again, a lot of people are told to post, and to be fair, I actually did a presentation on posting on this, and I actually wrote some sample ads for some of our members. But you're told to post about you personally, to tell your story, to promote the business, right? And that's all well and good, but at what point does that stop? Because like on my personal profile, I don't mind telling the story to promote any of my businesses. That's absolutely fine. But then you end up doing a bit of something else, right? A bit of self-promotion. And it gets to the point where my mum was like, are you really as arrogant as you seem sometimes? I'm like, no, mum, they are very, very much like the posts are, they have to be like that. I'm not going to sit here and go, like my soap making, 2 years I messed it up for consistently before I got it right. But all you see is the poster. I got it right. And I'm like, woohoo, look at this. You don't, like, I don't sit there and post all the negative things. I guess this is all social media. It's not real. We all just post the best bits of our life. But don't people look a little, is arrogant the wrong word? Self-centered? I guess it's that social media, isn't it?
It's social media. It's presenting yourself to the world, whether it's presenting your business or whether it's presenting you. And because we're business owners as well, we've got this joint thing going on. Most of things that I post about my business are only on my business pages. But yeah, everything else is pretty personal. But even then, like you say, I'm not going to post that I've just had a row with Mark, you know. or this has happened, because, you know, and I'm not going to send you a picture of my dinner usually either, so, you know, I'm not, but I will post pictures of the things we've been doing around the house, or like we're going on holiday next week, so I'll probably have some holiday photos. So yeah, it's nice to post personal stuff, but it's just remembering that it's, some of it is public.
So on this, you know how I love to throw a curveball every now and again, right? So I watched something recently. So I don't put pictures of my kids' faces. So I will put pictures of them, like my daughter was riding in the snow the other day on her bike and I took a picture. Well, I took a video, but you can only see the back of her, which is fine. Do you worry about what AI can do with recreating you? Because this is something that obviously the celebrities and famous actors and actresses are very, very aware of. You know, we could be recreated from this podcast and we could be made to say anything.
I know, it's actually quite scary that is possible now. And I watched a series a little while ago, I think it was called The Capture, and that was about people manipulating CCTV footage to have it tell people whatever they wanted it to tell. And yeah, the technology is out there. And actually, there's been a recent thing, hasn't there, on Facebook where people have done this Viking picture of themselves, and I didn't do it, but actually their photographs are now in the AI data bank. And
your photos, yeah, are almost definitely in the AI data bank already, let's be absolutely honest.
Yeah, but that's the challenge that we've got. But yeah, I don't know, not an expert.
I think it's interesting, and particularly as I have teenagers, their perception is very, very different. And actually, they will not go on these platforms for these reasons. And so you and I are sat here talking about protecting your public image. Well, actually, the younger generations are so much more aware of it. And actually, they're scared.
But if they become business owners, they're going to use social media for business.
Yes. But I do love social media. I love it. And it's really interesting that I was talking, again, I'm going to talk about the beekeeping world, which is slightly different. So we don't really put our faces on the camera. And if our faces are on it, it's covered in a bee suit. So you really don't see us very much. And it's all about the bees. And actually, those profiles do incredibly well. And you realize you don't have to sort of expose yourself. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? I haven't talked about OnlyFans, but, you know, give away too much of you personally. Again, don't know where I'm going with this. You don't need to be on there personally if you want to showcase your business. No. So if you are going to do a cleaning business, you don't have to put your face in front of it. And Diane, maybe we don't need to be in front of the camera anymore. We can just put up fact tips about how to run a cleaning business. We should do that. Like,
should we get just AI to produce versions of us? I'm sure they'd be younger in my case.
I don't know if I look. So this is going up on YouTube, this one. I'm sure I've got a filter on. I'm sure my forehead has literally no lines. Even if I squidge it, I've got no lines. So and it's not deliberate, but but you can see it's a filter. I do look this just a little bit smoother, it seems. I don't have a wrinkly forehead anyway.
I think I'd like an AI version of myself. I'm gonna
have you seen some of the pictures
created. Yeah, let's get one created and we'll talk it. We could do like a cartoon version of our podcast.
I did this before sort of ChatGPT came out, and they did it so you could put like, you put in like five pictures. Oh, I'm totally on this awful database, aren't I? Anyway, you put in five pictures and it would come up with like you dressed as like an alien and like a warrior, and oh, I was like, oh, this is really good fun, and like, and it was your face but like in different expressions and stuff that there's no way they had, and I was so excited. And then AI just came on in leaps and bounds, and then it was like, oh, we are so far past that now.
We're feeding the AI machine, aren't we? Brilliant. Okay, so I think we've kind of covered everything that I wanted to cover about your public image, just about being aware, realizing that what you're responsible for, and that, you know, the internet is out there for everybody to see, and you have to be a bit careful
and keep your hobbies to yourself.
Especially if you're on OnlyFans, Louise.
Thanks, will do. Bye.